Welcome back. In this lesson, we're making what I like to call eject brake fill drive in Ableton Live 12, that short, warped, VHS rave style transition that pushes a jungle or old school DNB brake right up to the edge before the drop. And the key thing here is this, we're not just editing drums, we're working in the automation layer. That means we're using movement, texture, and controlled degradation to create tension. The goal is not chaos for its own sake, the goal is controlled instability, tight groove. Then a brief moment where the track feels like it's being dragged through a battered tape machine, then a hard, clean snap back into the drop. If you do this well, you get energy without adding extra notes, and that is massive in drum and bass. It keeps the arrangement moving, it makes the transition feel authentic to jungle history, and it makes the drop feel bigger, because the fill gets expressive while the drop stays direct. So let's build it. Start by choosing a break with personality. An amen is perfect. A think break works. A dusty live break or chop junglist loop can do the job, as long as it has transient contrast and some ghost notes. You want material that already feels alive before you start processing it. Drop the break onto an audio track in Ableton Live 12 and warp it just enough to sit in the tempo. Don't over-tighten it. A little looseness is good here, because that's part of the character. If your main loop is 2 bars long, make that your stable groove. Then create a 1-bar fill version for the transition. A really useful way to organize this is to duplicate the clip into 3 versions. One is your main loop, one is your fill variation, and one is a more extreme, wild version for when you want a stronger transition. That gives you options without rebuilding from scratch every time. Now set the phrase logic. Think in sections. Maybe bars 1 through 7 are stable. Bar 8 becomes the fill drive, and bar 9 lands the drop or the new section. That kind of 8-bar tension management is very natural in jungle and DNB, because the listener can feel the phrase ending before it actually happens. Now build a processing chain on the break track. The idea is to make a dedicated fill system you can automate into life, and then back out of again. A solid chain order is AQ8, drum bus, saturator, auto filter, redux, reverb, delay, and then utility. Start simple. Use EQ8 to clean the bottom if needed. You usually only need a gentle high pass around 25 to 35 Hz, just to protect headroom. Don't thin the breakout too much. Then add drum bus. Keep the drive moderate, maybe somewhere around 5 to 15%. Use transients to give the break some bite. That transient control is important, because when we start adding grit and smear, we still want the snare to speak. Then use saturator with soft clip on. A few decibels of drive can add that crunchy rave edge without destroying the drum shape. Auto filter is where a lot of the VHS rave feel starts to happen. We're going to automate that filter movement so the break feels like it's closing in on itself, then opening right at the drop. Redux gives us that slightly degraded, digital tape texture. You do not want to smash it into full destruction, just enough to roughen the surface. Think subtle bit reduction. Not total wipeout. Reverb and delay should be treated like transition tools, not permanent effects. We're going to bring them up only in the fill window so the main groove stays punchy. And utility at the end is there for width control and output trim. This is important because once the fill gets big, it's easy to overcook the level. Now, if you want this to be really efficient, put the whole thing into an audio effect rack and map a few macros. I'd map 1 macro for filter sweep, 1 for grit, 1 for wash, 1 for delay throw, 1 for width control, and 1 for output trim. That gives you a clean, performance-friendly system. Instead of juggling 10 different parameters every time, you can automate a few macro moves and get a consistent result. Now let's shape the fill with automation. This is where the real movement happens. Don't just rely on clip editing. Use arrangement view automation to create a proper arc. A good starting move is to lower the break track volume by about 1 to 2 dB in the first half of the fill. That creates a little sense of pulling back before the push. Then let the saturation and filter bloom bring the energy back up. Automate the auto filter cutoff, so it closes down from a bright open state, something like 12 to 18 kHz, down to a more boxed-in range around 2 to 4 kHz. Then open it back up right before the drop. That closing and reopening motion is a huge part of the tension and release feeling. Add a little resonance too. Not too much, just enough to create that ravey whistle edge. Around 15 to 25% can be enough depending on the material. For reverb, keep the main groove dry and tight. Then during the fill, bring the dry slash wet up into the 18 to 35% range, just for that short transition window. You want smear, not a giant wash that buries the drums. Now for the jacked part. If you want extra forward motion, you can automate beat repeat on a return track, or do manual slicing in the last bar. Short 1/8 or 1/16 repeats can make the tail of the fill feel frantic and urgent. Just keep it controlled. The point is not random stutter. The point is a tightening, escalating pressure. And here's a really important coach note. Think in layers of motion. The strongest fills usually have one big movement, like filter or width, and one tiny movement, like pitch drift or transient change. If everything moves all at once, it gets blurry. If one macro thing is moving and one micro thing is shifting underneath it, the fill feels alive. That brings us to the VHS rave color. This is the signature move. We want the fill to feel slightly unstable, like the break is being played on a warped old tape deck in a warehouse rave. You can do that with a tiny pitch descent near the end of the fill. Use clip envelopes or automate transpose if you want a more obvious movement. For a subtle version, try dropping the last half bar by about 1 to 3 semitones, or even just 10 to 25 cents if you want a more analog wobble than a full pitch change. If the fill has a snare roll or chop toms, you can pitch those slightly lower than the hats. That gives you a nice tape sag feeling, where the whole thing seems to slump for a moment before recovering. Combine that with a little more redux on the final hits, and suddenly the fill starts feeling like it's breaking up in a very musical way. You can also use frequency shifter very lightly if you want a metallic VHS grime, but keep it subtle. A little goes a long way. This is about flavor, not obvious special effect. Now let's talk about transients, because this is where a lot of people accidentally ruin the groove. A common mistake is to pile on effects until the fill loses its front-end punch. In jungle and old-school D&B, the snare is often the anchor. Even when you mangle the fill, keep at least one snare hit clearly punchy, so the listener still feels the grid. That means drum bus is your friend. Try transient settings around plus 5 to plus 20 depending on the source. If the break gets too flat after saturation, bring the transient edge back. You can also use clip gain to lift the fill hits slightly before they hit the effect chain. And if the fill is getting too wide or too loud, use utility to narrow or trim it before the drop, because the drop should feel bigger by contrast. The fill should lead into the impact, not become the impact itself. Now let's connect the drums and the bass, because the fill never lives alone. In a strong D&B arrangement, the drums and bass are in conversation. During the last bar before the drop, simplify the bass line or duck it slightly. Let the break fill take focus. Then on the final 1/8 or 1/4 bar, let the bass answer with a short stab or a reverse sub pickup. Keep your sub clean and mono. Let the break carry the VHS color. You can automate auto filter on the bass to close a bit during the fill and then open on the drop. That creates a really satisfying release. This is especially effective in a 172 BPM jungle roller. Imagine bars 9 through 16 repeating a crunchy amen loop. Then at bar 16, the drums get filtered, slightly pitch drifting, and a little bit degraded. The bass line pauses for half a bar, then answers on the drop. That's the fill dry feeling. It's like the drums are accelerating the listener into the bass return. Now, if you want this to be reusable, build 3 automation states. State 1 is clean drive, that means light saturation, minimal filtering, and dry drum presence. State 2 is VHS lift, that means the filter starts closing, reverb rises, pitch reduction comes in, and there's a small pitch drift. State 3 is full jack, that means stronger saturation, a shorter delay throw, a more aggressive final hit, and then a fast return to dry. Save that as an audio effect rack and store it in your user library. Then, when you're arranging, automate the rack macros instead of individual devices whenever possible. It's faster, and it keeps your transitions consistent across different sections. Now let's make sure the fill stays exciting without wrecking the mix. Check your mono compatibility. Keep the sub and kick area mono. Use utility to narrow the fill if it gets too wide. Don't let reverb build up in the low end. A good rule is to keep reverb from cluttering below about 150 to 200 Hz. Also watch the top end. If the distortion and resonance get sharp, use a Q8 with a gentle cut somewhere around 6 to 10 kHz. You want the fill to sound energetic, not fatiguing. And importantly, don't make the fill the loudest thing in the track. The peak level does not need to be the highest. The drop should feel like a reset, not a continuation of the same density. Here are a few advanced moves you can try once the basic version works. You can do a halftime break and then a step forward release. That means the last bar feels like it slows down, maybe by closing the filter and thinning the break, and then the drop restores full band energy instantly. That contrast can feel even more violent than a constant ramp. You can also do a stuttered final bar, where you alternate between two processor states every 1/16 or 1/8. One pass is cleaner, The next is more degraded and wider. That machine gun tug of war can sound amazing on a switch up. Another good one is a pitch ladder fill. Instead of one glide down, step the fill through small pitch offsets like 0, minus 1, minus 2, minus 1, back to 0. It feels unstable but still musical. And for a quick old school rave touch, try a tiny reversed pre-echo on the final snare. Keep it short. You want to pull into the hit, not a big cinematic swell. A really useful workflow tip. Once the fill is working, bounce it to audio. Audio gives you better control over tiny slices, reverse tails, and resampling passes. Often the second generation resample sounds more authentic and more tight than the real-time version. Let's do a quick practice version in your head.